preaching all of them, only select ones that were of particular blessing to me. And the longer that I study them, the more importance that I begin to see in some of the others. And we'll stay on this till the Lord just gets done with it. I don't know how many more weeks that'll take us. I figure at least one more week, but I don't know what else the Lord has in store for us from these windows. But I want to be obedient in it and preach until the Lord gets done with us in these windows of the Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 1, we'll begin reading. If you'll stand with us, we'll read the word of the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter number 12 and verse number 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves low, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of a bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears be in the way, an almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and the desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loose, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while I read the word of the Lord. We have talked about in this series on these windows in the Bible. We talked a few weeks ago about those windows of behavior. We talked about last week on Sunday morning and finished up on Sunday night, those windows of blessing. But today I want to preach, if the Lord will help me for a little while, on windows to beware. Windows to beware. There are some windows in the Bible that give us a sight or vision or insight, if you will, into some things of warning or some things to beware or some things that we must be careful about. And I want to show you some of them here from the Word of the Lord. The writer Solomon gives a warning in our text to young people to serve God in their youth. I want to say, first of all, this morning, beware of the window of time for labor. Beware of the window of time for labor. In our text, we learn this. He says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Before, he says, or while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While you're yet young and strong and able to do some things, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Beware of the window of time for labor. Brother Jeff mentioned this morning in the Sunday school class, in the youngest class back there, how important that it is that we understand that our lives are but a vapor. We're only here for a short time. And the best thing you can do is remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Don't wait and say, oh, I'll wait till tomorrow, or I'll wait till I'm an old man, or I'll wait till I've sown the wild oats, or I'll wait. And the reality is that it's time we remember our Creator now, while you're yet able to labor for the Lord, and while you have time and days to serve God. Yield now to the Lord and serve God today while you have that opportunity. You see, this issue of time is so seldom truly considered. And Solomon tells young people to remember their Creator while they are yet young, to spend their days serving God. He gives him a warning in verse 3 that the windows will be darkened, it says, on the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders shall cease because they're few, and that those that look out the windows be darkened. Now when he speaks, and I'm going to get more detail of this in a minute, but when he speaks of looking out the windows being darkened, he's talking about your eyes, the windows of your eyes, and looking out, peering out through the windows of the flesh, which is the eye.
and how that in time your sight will become dim, or your eyes will be darkened. It is a sign of aging, if you will. There's a lot of folks around here with eyeglasses on or with contacts in, my friend, or some other assistance to see. And with time, that does not get better. But if all of us live long enough, it's likely that all of us will have to wear some sort of assistance to see, as those that look out the windows of our eyes have be darkened. I didn't realize there was so many of you was getting old with them glasses, so I got to looking around preaching this morning. But there comes a time. My daddy the other day, now listen, he, when I was a kid, he could see a fly sitting on a ledge at 1,000 yards. And he might could still see it, but he can't see his hand in front of his face. I'm going to tell you, hey, it don't scare me, him and driving, but it's kind of scary at him a cooking because he can't see nothing this close. Amen. He's got his sunny direction singing, and he's got his book here. His book board set about this high so he can see his book. It's got to hang down longer in his arms. Lower in his arms will go for him to see his book because his eyes is becoming dark. And we got out yesterday at work in a little bit. He wanted me to read the plans to him. He said, I can't see it. I had to go back to the truck and get my glasses. It's just, hey, there's nothing big deal. It's just that his eyes are being dark. And those that look out the windows, you see, time has made a change in him. The old song said, time has made a change in me. When I was but a boy and young and strong, I could climb the hillsides all day long. But now I'm not the man that I used to be, because time has made a change in me. And it does to all of us. And I'm giving you a lesson, and the Word of God gives us a lesson this morning. And we should take advantage of our youth and live for God in our youth and serve God in our youth. And beware of your limited time to labor for the Lord and serve God now while you still have opportunity to.
Remember now, your Creator in the days of your youth redeemed these days. These days are limited. They're small. The Scripture said redeeming the time because the days are evil. It does mean because we're living in evil times. But days itself are evil. It's evil in that there's so few of them. It's in that there's so little time. And you've got to redeem the time. Use your days wisely because you only have but a few. Man is born, but it's a few days. Man is born of a woman, a few days before trouble. One little boy quoted Tataway said, the man is born in a few days, he got trouble with women. And that's almost right, too. But the Bible does say man is born of a woman in a few days and full of trouble. You better use your days while you have them, those few days. Use them for the Lord. When you stand before God, nobody will say, I wish that I bought that car. I wish that I had that land. I wish that I had more money in my retirement fund. Had nothing wrong with those things. I'd even encourage them. I don't have a problem with that as long as God's put first in your life. But I'm telling you, what really matters in life is what you do for the Lord. And you better use your days, your time, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You have but a small window of time. Do not squander your days with the things of this world. Amen. Invest your time in things eternal. And invest not and lay up not treasures on earth where moth and dust doth corrupt and men have thieves break through and steal, but lay your treasures up in heaven where moth and dust cannot corrupt and thieves cannot break through and steal. Where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. I mean, if your heart's on home, if your heart's on heaven, that's where your treasure's going to be. Invest yourself in the things of God. Beware of the window of time for labor. There's a few things we learn from this scripture. First of all, we learn that life is uncertain. We're here today and gone tomorrow. Now, once we're gone somewhere. And we're going to get to that in just a minute. But we do learn that life is uncertain. We learn that death is sure. As sure as a man's born, he's going to die. Everybody's going to die. It is appointed a man wants to die. And after this, the
judgment. The latter part of verse 5 says, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets, wherever the silver cord be loosed. That silver cord is your spinal cord that is attached to your brain, and it then runs down your backbone and feeds the nerve endings in all of your body. He said eventually it's going to come a time that your brain function's going to stop. And he said the silver cord be loose, or the golden bowl, that is the mind, if you will, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, which makes it inoperational. And he said, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God that gave it. The reality is everybody's going to die. Young or old, everybody's going to die. Rich or poor, everybody's going to die. Educated or a fool, everybody is going to die. And we better live right if we want any chance at dying right.
Amen, because you're going to live, die just like you've lived. And so life is uncertain, death is sure. We also learn from these verses that youth is fleeting. Youth is fleeting. Amen. Well, I'm not the man that I used to be because time has made a change in me. I want to tell you what will happen. Those black hairs will run off, and the white ones will replace them. Amen. And for some folks, the black hairs and the white ones will run off, and they want nothing replaced. It. Amen. Uncle Ricky said he used to use Head and Shoulders to clean his head, and now he uses Mopping Low. Amen. I want to tell you, friend, time has made a change in me, and it has in you. Amen. Time makes a change in us. Youth is fleeting. Hey, you look at these little boys and girls, and they can't imagine that they'll ever be old. I mean, they can't imagine that. And we look sometimes at older folks, and it's hard to imagine that they were ever young. But that is the case. Do y'all believe that at one time Brother Eddie was about this long and weighed about 10 pounds? Y'all believe that? I mean, that's been a long time ago. A lot of groceries ago. But the reality is that youth is fleeting. Time makes a change in us. Nobody stays young forever. I mean, age sets in on us. And so certain things about age are nice. I mean, everything about getting old ain't bad. Everything about aging's not bad. I mean, most of us is smarter than what we used to be. And we're a whole lot smarter than what our kids think we are. Amen. I mean, there's not everything about getting old is bad. But there are some things that'll catch up with you in your elder years that did not have an effect on you in your younger years. And the encouragement from these verses is to serve God before these things take place. And when you get old, you look back on your life and say, thank God that I did. Amen. That's exactly right. What he's talking about here, if you don't die first, is going to happen to you. In these verses, everything he's talking about here, if you don't die first, eventually will happen to you. Look at these verses now. In verse number 3, he says, in the day, talking about when you get old now, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. Do you know what the keepers of the house is? That's your foundation. That's these two legs right here. And he said, in the day when you get old, he's talking about a person now getting feeble, when the keepers of the house shall tremble. When it's hard for a person to stand on their own two feet and keep their strength up, and the keepers of the house shall tremble. And then he talks about this. He said, when the keeper of the house shall tremble, when the strong men shall bow themselves. He's talking about that back, that strength of a man's in his back. Matter of fact, we've used the phrase several times around here, describing some of our better members as having strong backs and weak minds. And we're so appreciative of them folks that gets in the ditches and puts up the fences and cuts the grass and handle those things. Amen. And listen, hey, Brother Charles is about as tough and as rough and as strong. He's about as much of a man. He's the only man I know wear a pink shirt and pull it off and not even look like a sissy. I'm telling you, he can do it, buddy. I mean, he's a man's man. I admire him. I love being around him. I like to work with him. Makes my job easier. Amen. I'm telling you, that man will outwork any 6 minutes.
Haskins. And I'm telling you, he's strong and he'll work and he's got determination about himself. But listen, there comes a time when time makes a change in us. And where he throws something on his shoulder and just take off running. As some of those days here lately, that those strong men are starting to bow low, ain't they, Brother Charles? And he's had trouble with that back and had problems with his back. You see, the day comes when it's not easy just to throw the world on your shoulder, physically speaking, and take off running like he used to. I mean, when those that support the house starts trembling, and the strength of it, the strong man, the back, starts to bow down low, and time will make a change in you. And when you get to the place in life where your legs are trembling, your back is a point, and maybe, my friend, your strongest days are past you, or in the past, my friend, if you've lived for God, you'll look back on the days of your youth and say, thank God I did. And if you haven't, you'll look back on your youth and say, what did God I had?
You can either live in regret or you can live in gratefulness, one of the two. Amen. It's either be thank God it did or wish to God that had. Amen. And so he said that the strong men shall bow themselves and the grinders cease because they are few. The grinders are your teeth. And he said they'll cease because they are few. As some of you, if you wanted to, we could take up a collection of teeth this morning. As some of you have borrowed some from somebody else. But if we put them all in the pot and everybody wants to come get them, you might get them mixed up and take some home wasn't yours. Amen. And so, hey, there'll come a time when the grinders will be few. These things don't last forever. You understand that, don't you? If it's one at a time or all at once, they're all going to go one of these days because like the rest of us, they're corruptible. And those teeth are going to go. He said, you done got so old that you're not able to chew like you used to. And then he says, and those that look out the windows be dark. And we've already talked about that, the sight of going dim. And the doors shall be shut in the streets, and the sound of grinding is low. The door shut is your mouth. And the clothes in, my friend, your mouth. And then when you go to chewing, and the sound of it won't be there anymore because the teeth are gone. And then you won't even be able to hear what you're doing. And the time, my friend, has a way. And slowly but surely, you see, the reality is when age and my friend, feebleness begins to set in on us, it's not a sign of anything else except the reality that we're all headed for the graveyard.
And the sooner you understand you're going to die, the better off you're going to be. Because when you understand you're going to die, you'll live different. People think they ain't never going to die won't live right. But if you'll understand you're going to die, it'll change the way you live. And these things that are the process of aging are nothing more than warning signs to us. It's the window of our lives that are telling us to beware that our time is limited.
And he says, and he shall rise up at the voice of a bird. If you notice that when you as a kid you could have slept through a hurricane that ripped your own house off the foundation, as long as what didn't bother you, you'd been sleeping through the whole thing. You ever notice that? And now I can get a cricket in the bedroom and he'll keep me up all night long. I'm telling you, hey, he'll rise up at the sound of a bird. Every little thing will disturb his sleep and he just can't get rest. And all the daughters of music shall be brought low. His voice, his capacity be brought low, just won't be there like it used to be. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, I mean because of balance and not strength, maybe not as nimble as what they were in time. I mean when you was young and stupid and you'd have jumped off anything and climbed anything. I mean, that's 11-year-old kid is putting that roof on over at Pine Ridge Church and my feet on top of that building where they are now. I'd run up that ladder like a monkey man and run around that roof. And 11-year-old, that scared me to death seeing my kids. Then 11-year-old be running around that roof and 60 feet high at the point. It scared me enough for me to be up there now. I run around up there then like it is a racetrack. Didn't bother me at all.
But you see, time changes your perception, and fears shall be in the way. That's the issue of nerves, you see. And the almond tree shall flourish. Did you know that the almond buds and the almond leaves are silver? That's talking about that silver hair. I mean, that's like Brother John's almond tree that's a flourishing right in through here. It's starting to give off its a beautiful silver glow. He's worth a lot more than what he was when Ginger married him. As she married him thinking he had a head of coal, and now he's got a head of silver. Amen. I'm going to tell you, time makes a change in us. And he said, listen, he said, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, where the least little thing becomes such a trouble. And you know what we're doing, don't you? He said, because a man is going to his long home, he's heading for the graveyard. His old body's going back to God that gave it, back to the earth, and then our spirit will stand before God.
Brother, which means you better get to the place in life where you make your decision now to serve the Lord. Your days are limited. Life is uncertain. Death is sure. Youth is fleeting. This scripture teaches us that Christ is the only thing worth living for. Christ is the only thing worth living for. Because he's the only thing worth dying with. And he's the only thing you can carry with you when you do die. Verse number 8, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. He examines everything under the sun, and he says, what's the use? Why do you live? All this stuff down here is not worth living for. It's all in vain. I tell you, friend, if you don't remember your Creator and live for God, you have wasted your days. In your limited time, use it for the Lord. Verses 13 and 14, let us hear the conclusion. The whole matter, fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I'm going to tell you something, friend. God is going to have us stand in judgment before Him. He will judge our deeds. And my friend, the only thing that will matter then is the days you spent serving God. Beware of the window of time for labor. Secondly, this morning, beware of the window of temptation of lewdness. Beware of the window of temptation of lewdness. Turn with us, if you will. I seldom ask you to turn while I'm preaching, but I'm going to stay in this chapter for a while. Turn with us to Proverbs chapter number 7. Proverbs chapter number 7. I want to read this chapter to you, show you a few verses, a few highlights. Don't know how deep we'll get into all of this. Don't have an awful lot of time left. Got an awful lot of preaching left to do. And this is only half of what was supposed to be part 3 that I'm trying to preach this morning. I might not get half of the half, but we'll see where we can go with it. Proverbs chapter number 7. The scripture says in chapter 7 of Proverbs, verse 1, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers and write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, with a stranger which flattereth with her words. Now look at what it says in verse 6. He begins to tell a story. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement. I began to peer out the window pane, and this is what I saw. And beheld, among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. And he went to the way to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Notice when it was. He thinks nobody's watching what's going on. He thinks nobody knows what's happening. He thinks nobody sees what he's doing. And yet Solomon said he thought he was a secret. He thought nobody saw. He thought he was all alone. But I was looking out a window, and I saw everything that happened. I want to tell you something, friend. People aren't as blind as what you think they are. And you're not getting away with what you think you're getting away with. And even if nobody else saw, God's looking through the window, and He sees what's going on. And behold, there met him a woman with an attire of a harlot. You know why she dressed that way? Because that's what she was. Behold, there met him a woman with a tire of a harlot, and subtle a heart. That word subtle is only used a handful of times in the Bible. One of those times has to do with this woman here. The other time has to do with the serpent in the Garden of Eden. Subtle. It means tricky, if you will. Deceiving, my friend. A woman subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. How about that? Loud and stubborn. It's not the characteristics of a Christian godly woman, you see. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. She's always in the road. She's always going here and there. She's always in the street. She doesn't care about home. She doesn't care about family. She doesn't care about her husband. I want to tell you, a woman like that is trouble. She's trouble. Stay with me now. I'm trying to preach to you. Hadn't preached anything that didn't exactly say right there in the Bible so far. We're not going to. Now, if you that way, see, if you don't like a message, you'll have to blame the one that wrote the letter and not the mailman. Amen? Amen. Now is she without, verse 12. Now in the streets lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face, or one of authority or charge, or my friend, one that takes control, said unto him, I have peace offerings with me this day. I've paid my vows. Therefore come forth to meet thee. I diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. As she says, hey, I have, verse 16, I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with linen of Egypt. I perfume my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us fill our love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He has gone on a long journey, hath taken a bag of money with him, and will come home at the day appointed. She said, my husband's gone off on a business trip, and he's going to be gone for quite a while. It won't hurt anything. Come home and stay with me, and come home and spend time with me. And he'll never find out about it. But be sure your sin will find you out. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, knoweth not that it is his life. He's about to lose his life because of his temptation of lewdness. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thy heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she has cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. I mean, Solomon tells those who would have wisdom to beware the window of temptation of lewdness. That strange woman that catches their eye. We're living in a day of much perversion, lewdness, adultery, and all diversities of wanton wickedness. The world is consumed with it, and Satan makes it very attractive to the flesh. But beware of the temptation. Flee from the very presence of it, my friend. It'll kill you is what it'll do. We learned some things from this chapter. I could preach 3 hours. I could take a sermon series from this chapter on a number of subjects. How to find a mate. That'd be a good subject to preach on from this passage. How to court. What's the right way? What's the wrong way? How to act like a lady, or how to, my friend, not act like this kind of strange woman. We could preach on that. But I want to show you some lessons concerning this window of temptation of lewdness from this chapter, my friend. You see, there's some lessons we learn. Verses 4 and 5, we learn that wisdom will keep us from it. Wisdom will keep us from it. Look at what verses 4 and 5 says. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. Call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, the stranger which flattereth with her words. Wisdom is what will keep you out of that. The fool will fall into the trap. The fool will follow his flesh, his impulses, his lusts, his desires, or her lust, or her desires. But that one that will bind wisdom upon his heart, that will seek after the wisdom of God, it is the wisdom of the Lord that'll keep him from this snare. You may think that you're pretty strong, can beat this, but you'll wind up losing that proposition. Many times you ride down the road, you see the signs, don't you? You see the signs on the side of the road. Home for sale. Home for sale. Home for sale. Home for sale. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of them ain't got a sign up, but the home's for sale. Daddy's for sale. Mama's for sale. The children are for sale. Morals are for sale. The marriage is for sale. And for the lowest common denominator, for what seemingly is a pitifully low price, homes are for sale. And the reason that they are is because of foolishness is bound up in their hearts. And the wisdom of God is far from them. And they've not considered the cost of sin. God, help us to open our eyes and see the cost of sin. Wisdom will keep us from it. I want to say in verse 21, we learn that words can draw us astray. The latter part of verse 5 said, "Thou stranger with flattereth with her words." Verse 21 said, "With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him." She didn't handcuff him, have my friend, and drag him with a chain back to her house. But it was with her words that she drew him astray. He yielded to her words. I want to say something here, friend. Words that mean something. Brother Bob and I was talking about just a little while ago about James in the chapter number 3 and how the Bible said that the tongue is a deadly evil, a deadly poison that sets on fire the fire of hell. And my friend, that no man can tame it. I want to tell you, your speech ought to be seasoned with the Spirit of God. Be careful what you say and be careful what you heed, what you listen to. Her words drew him astray. There are some people who will talk to you in such a way that you need to cut off listening altogether. Not just watching what you say, but watching what and who you listen to. There are people that will talk to you in such a way that's not appropriate for them to talk to you at all. Women amaze me in this day we're living in. Growing up as a boy, I was taught, you know, you don't even talk about things that would even maybe even be appropriate, you know, to talk about. You know, growing up on the farm and working on animals and so forth, there's certain things you talk about that you have to do and the operations and the different things that you do with the animals and taking care of them. You just didn't even talk about that kind of stuff when you was around the ladies and to say such a thing. But now I'm amazed at the filth and the putrid garbage that comes out of the mouth of women in this generation. Women that just cuss and raise Cain and carry on. And I'm just amazed by the filthiness of the mouths of women and men as well. Men have always been filthy mouths, but women amaze me in this generation. I tell you, there's certain things that you ain't got no business talking to the opposite sex about. Amen. Hey, it amazes me how lightly and how flippantly that people take things and discuss things in this generation. I mean, we were expecting our children. It amazed me if the men that would try to engage my wife in a conversation about the due dates and about the time and so forth and the physical condition, that wasn't none of his business. Wasn't no appropriate place for some other man to be talking to my wife about stuff like that, or for me to be talking to your wife about things like that. And my friend, it's amazing to me how little shame we have in the conversation people have between members of the opposite sex today. Wisdom will keep you from that foolishness. But those words can draw you in. You'll find yourself with a corrupted mind. And if you've got a corrupt mind, it won't be long. You'll have corrupt deeds. Amen. You still with me now? I'm preaching about the being aware of the window of temptation of lewdness. Wisdom keeps us from it. Words can draw us astray. Then we learn that the way is a path of death. Verses 22 and 23 said, "He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, knoweth not that it is for his life. He's like a lamb gone to the slaughter. He's headed to death, and he don't even know it." How many times I'd call him cows up. Woo! Woo! Every cow in the neighborhood come running. And they'd come up and you throw out the sweet feed for them. Time after time they'd come eat and their bellies be filled. And then they'd go away. They'd go back out in the pasture and roam and eat grass and lay there and fat and chew their cud. But there comes a day, Brother Eddie, when you go out and you holler. Every cow in the neighborhood comes running again.
And then when they get there, that time you don't turn them loose. They think, I've come to eat again. I've come to fill my gut again. I've come because I'm hungry again. But then when they get there and their belly gets full, they never get to go back out. And the catcher line, the head catcher comes around their neck. And they're headed for the slaughterhouse where a bullet will be put in their head. And it'll be the end of everything. And they'll wind up on somebody's dinner table. And all they thought they were doing was coming to get one more belly full of food. I want to tell you, that's exactly what Solomon said this man was headed for. He's just like a sheep headed for the slaughter, like a bird caught in the snare of the fowler, just like an animal that's coming for a dart to be stricken through its liver. Help my friend, like a man going to the slaughter and didn't even realize that one of these days is going to make his last trip down that way. Hey, it don't pay. This man's going down there to spend time with another man's wife. That kind of business won't pay. That'll get you killed is what that'll do. Verses 26 and 7 says, look at this. You know how Solomon knew this? Look what said. For she has cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down the chambers of death. I want to tell you something. All the lewdness and perversities of the world may look attractive, but it is deadly. There's many of folks laying in a hospital bed. Their bodies riddled with diseases that there's no cures for because of their bending to temptation of lewdness and perversity and sin. And it is deadly. We're living in a day where people think no more of shacking up with folks that they're not married to than what they do changing their shoes. But it's still sin, just as it always has been. And there will be a heavy price to pay. It's sin. And don't tell me about your committed relationship. If he was too committed to you, he'd marry you. The reason he won't marry you is because he's not committed. So what are you to do? What are you to do? By the way, young lady, when you go out with that fellow that you thought was a good boy, you thought he was, you wouldn't go out with him. I trust if you're saved, unless you thought he was a Christian and thought he was Spirit-filled and thought he knew the Lord, you'd never make the first trip out with him. Amen, amen, amen. To God be the glory. It's right. And I want to preach it to my children, yours, and our young people that's coming up, and some of these young teenagers. And all, every one of them's too young to be a date, and they ought to at least be 3 or 4 years older than any of them are. And they may think they're grown, but they're still kids is what they are. And then when they do get to that age, I want them to know that you don't even consider somebody for a sweetheart that you don't believe is saved and spirit-filled. You don't even consider them for a sweetheart. And if they're never your sweetheart, they'll never be your spouse. You don't have to worry about somewhere marrying somebody that's lost if you don't start making sweethearts out of somebody that's lost. Amen, that's right. And when you get a hold of one that you thought was Spirit-filled and saved, and then you get down the road and you figure out he's a bit handsy, and then my friend, he's got 6 or 8 hands, and it seemed like they were going everywhere. I mean, I'd always advise you girls wear high heels on a date. So whenever he starts at you, you can take that heel off and put it in his eye. Amen. I mean, you get his hands off of you if it takes set him on fire and get him away from you. That's right, that's right. You make sure you keep yourself pure and clean. If not, you would to God later on you had. I'm telling you, you will not regret doing the right thing, but you'll regret the rest of your life doing the wrong thing. Am I still preaching right, Brother Eddie? Amen. Beware of the window of temptation of lewdness. Now listen, friend, the wise man is not taken in by temptation. He understands the price that he have to pay. 2 Kings chapter number 9. Jehu comes down there to the temple, to the palace where Jezebel's living at. And he comes down there and he begins to ride up in front of the palace. And the Bible says in verse 30, he said, when Jehu was coming to Jezebel, Jezebel heard of it. And she painted her face and tied her head and looked out a window. And as Jehu looked out a window, I told you to preach on them windows now. And looked out a window, and as Jehu entered into the gates, he said, had Zimri peace, who slew his master. And he lifted up his face to the window and said, who is on my side? Who? Now, a lot of fellows would have looked up there at the window and said, man, ain't she pretty? And once you did that, it'd all been over with, see. Had been distracted by something that was appealing to his flesh. But Jehu was there as a servant of the judgment of God. And he could not be taken in by Jezebel and still execute the judgment of the Lord. Now, Jehu wasn't there to murder somebody. Jehu was there as a servant of the wrath of God. That's exactly right. We're talking about governmental wrath or punishment, if you will, for deeds done ungodly and deeds done against the law, which Jezebel had done more than her fair share of in killing among many Naboth, who she slew in order for Ahab to have his vineyard. And so it was time for her to meet her maker. It was time for her capital punishment. And so it was that he said, "Who's on my side? Who?" And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. And he said, "Throw her down." Boy, I like that, don't you? Jehu didn't say, "Hey, let's have a court case. Somebody hire a lawyer. We might not have enough money in the Fulton County system to be able to try him." You know that crazy man killed all them fellas right there in the middle of the courthouse, including all the court officials and has some like 60 witnesses and things seeing him do it. They got over $2 or $3 million that they spent trying to prosecute him. And they say they hadn't got enough money still to be able to prosecute him, get him tried, found guilty. Why, there are 60 people stood there and watched him do it. They ought to kill that rascal on the spot. That's what they ought to done. Amen. That's right. Jehu didn't say, "Let's have a court case." He said, "Throw her down." And they threw her down. And Jehu said, "Yah, mule." And there went the horses and trampled her underfoot and killed her.
You know how brokenhearted Jehu was about it? He went inside the house, the kitchen, made him a peanut butter jelly sandwich, drank a glass of milk, and wasn't even worried. They got to thinking, somebody ought at least go bury her. He said, "She is a king's daughter. Go out there and get her and bury her." But when he got there, the prophecy of God had come true that the dogs had licked up her blood, just like they licked up Naboth, who she killed, licked up his blood. That's right. That's right. Jehu was there to carry out the judgment of God on the wicked woman Jezebel. And he could have been taken in by her temptation, but he wisely avoided it. I'm here to encourage you, don't be fool enough to throw away the things that are important for you and for the foolishness of this world that will cost you what really matters in life. You can throw away your testimony, your family, your children, the pleasures of the church, your position in the church. You can throw away, my friend, your good name. You can throw away your health. You can throw away everything because of getting caught looking in that window of the temptation of lewdness. I'm closing with this. Beware of the window of the time for labor. Beware of the window of the temptation of lewdness. Beware of the window of tiring in listening. Boy, you ought to perk up now. Some of you about half asleep. Now's the time to listen, because I'm fixing to preach to you. Beware of the window of tiring in listening. Right. Acts chapter 20, verse number 8 said, "And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in the window a young man named Eutychus. And as Paul was long preaching, Eutychus sunk down in sleep, fell out the window, and he had a great fell from the third loft out the window, and was taken up dead. Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him. Said, "Trouble not yourself, for his life is in him." And the young man came back to life. And Paul sat down and stayed all night, talked all night, and then went down to make breakfast with us the next morning. They brought the young man Eutychus alive, and they were not a little comforted. And that's almost word for word. Acts chapter 20. Grace, that's the first scripture she memorized. You believe that? What a strange scripture for me, the first one she ever memorized. That's the first one she ever memorized. Story of Paul and Eutychus, that man falling out the window. I read that. She was 2 or 3 years old. Something about that man falling out the window through the preaching just tickled her to death. And she had me read it every night. What long she had it memorized. Tickled her to death. Man, go to sleep during the preaching, fall out the window. Amen. Well, I mean, and you never know what's going to tickle a kid's funny bone. And I don't know that I've ever heard preachers preach on before. I've heard a lot of fellas mention it. One fella even told me one time, said, "Preacher, it don't matter how long you preach." Said, "Paul came to a church one time, preached all night long." Yeah, I said, "Yeah, and he never come back to that place neither." Amen. I mean, that was his last trip through there. He preached all night, but he never got to come back. And that's what happened again. Fellas go to preach it all night. Eutychus got like a lot of us. The Bible said Paul had been long preaching. Preachers has been doing that a long time now. Paul had been long preaching, and Eutychus went to sleep in the window. But my friend, he fell asleep, fell out the window, and it killed him.
Can I warn you, something will happen to us if we're not careful? We'll hear preaching and we'll hear preaching and we'll hear preaching and we'll hear preaching. We hear the warnings of mom and dad. We hear the lessons of the Sunday school teacher. We'll read the Bible. We'll even listen to the Holy Spirit's conviction again and again and again and again. And after a while, we will tire in listening. We'll go to sleep on it. We'll allow that spirit that's within us that convicts us. And we'll reject it and reject it and reject it and reject it. Just like Brother Jeff was saying in Sunday school this morning. Until we get so hard to it that we're asleep on God. And we're tuning out the preacher. And we're tuning out the church, and we're tuning out the Spirit of God, and we won't hear mom and dad, and we won't hear the warnings coming from the pulpit. And my friend, if you're not careful in your sleep, you'll put yourself in a dangerous position.
Right.
Eutychus, when he fell asleep in the winter, didn't realize how close he was to dying. He didn't know within a matter of minutes after he fell asleep, he was going to fall out the window and kill himself. I'm telling you, you may not realize how that going to sleep on God, sleep on the church, sleep on the Bible, going to sleep on what's right and that conviction that's down in your heart and turning it away, you may not realize how close you are hanging precariously on the edge of disaster in your life that those things are trying to spare you from. Is that right? Galatians chapter 6, I believe it's verse 9 or 10, says, "Be not weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Many folks are stopping one inch shy of the prize. They're stopping and they're giving up and they're throwing in the towel. And they've lived for God for years. And they're on the home stretch now, Brother Clifford. I mean, heaven's nearer than what it used to be. But now they're giving up. And now they're quitting. And now they're throwing in the towel. My Lord, no use to quit. Just keep on keeping on. Don't get tired in listening. Don't get tired in living right. Don't get tired in walking with God. Now just keep on and keeping on. In due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Moreover, my beloved brethren, be ye therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Rocky road you travel today may turn to gold right around the next bend. So serve the Lord with gladness. Don't give up in the way. Don't throw in the towel. Don't get tired in listening. These folks that's attended good, straight, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, devil-hating churches for a long time, and then after a while they say, you know, I'm just tired of that preacher for preaching on sin. And they quit listening. And they go seeking some other drought, some other way. And you know what it really is, don't you? They've spurned the Holy Ghost so many times. And the preacher dealt with their sin over and over. Well, just he dealt with sin. He dealt with their. People don't mind you preaching on sin as long as it's somebody else's. When you start dealing with their sin over and over and over and over again, they finally got tired of that and said, hey, I'm going some other way out. I'm going some other way. Listen, you'll fall asleep in the window and you don't even know you're this close to falling out. You're this close to your death. You're just this close to losing all the testimony you've had. Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't be weary in well-doing. Some of them said, I don't like it that them preachers preach so loud or that this one hacks. It ain't the loud and hacking that's bothering you. It's what he's saying while he's talking that's bothering you. The message that he's preaching. Let's not get tired in listening. Ain't it amazing how you go to a ball game, it goes into extra innings, you think, man, now I'm going to get my money's worth. It goes in overtime. You think, man, I'm going to get my money's worth. It goes church and you go a few minutes past what time you think you're supposed to get out of here. Then, my goodness, look like you get done.
Right.
You know why, don't you? Because we're carnal.
Right.
And are tiring and listening and tuning the man of God out and tuning out the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Who knows? It may be the last 5 minutes of the message you needed the most. But you done tuned out by then. And next week you may meet what's going to bring you to your death if you don't get it right this morning. I'm trying to encourage you to stay with it. We get through about Wednesday night revival and say, man, I'm so tired, I just don't think I can go tonight. May have been the very night you needed. But we get weary in well-doing. And we faint. And then we don't reap the benefits of living for God. And we, my friend, if we'd just not been weary, we'd reap if we faint not. would reap if we faint not. My Lord, help us this morning. Windows to beware, windows to beware. Beware the window of time for labor. Don't waste your days. Beware the window of temptation for lewdness. Do not be caught in by temptation. Beware the window of tiring and listening. Stay with it and work till Jesus comes. Ezekiel chapter 40. Chapter 41. I'm not going to preach on it. Can't. Too much there. But it prophesies of the children of Israel after they fall into captivity for sin, for their tiring of listening to the prophets. And they would not heed the word of the men of God. And they eventually fell into Babylonian captivity. Lost their temple. Lost everything. 70 years. Yet in chapters 40 and 41, it speaks of their restoration. 12 times the chapter tells of the windows that'll be in the new temple. You ought to go back and study it. 12 times in chapters 40 and 41, it tells of the windows in the new temple, and they ain't even a new temple yet. It's the promises of God. The promises of God to who? To backsliders, to people that ain't done right, to folks that have faltered, that's fell out the wind, if you will, for people whose lives are broken. For people in the snare of the fowler. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it's a lesson that failure is not final. It's a lesson that just because you have fallen doesn't mean you have to stay lying down. And God's a God of second chances. If you've fallen, if you've failed, if you've tired, if you've yielded to temptation, if you've wasted your days in sin, God is a merciful God. And He'll build your window of beauty back again and let you bring glory to His name again and restore you to Himself again. If you'll seek restoration, God will reconcile. He will abundantly pardon, and you can walk near unto God again. Peter walked on the water, yet he fell through. But after he fell through, he cried, "Lord, save me." And he walked on the water again. Back to the boat. Somebody said, "Preacher, I failed." Just cause you fall, I don't mean you can't walk on water again. Just don't lay there and die. Cry out, "Lord, save me." And you can walk on the water again. God can restore those windows of beauty. There we go. There's us another one. Windows of beauty. Back to you again. That may come in a couple of weeks. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, He can do it if you'll return to Him. God is in the business of restoration. If you fail to walk circumspectly in this world of woe, God is in the business of restoration. Come on with a song. I want to tell you, you can find forgiveness and hope. Seek it while there is opportunity and while there is time. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. I'm telling you, God's able and He's willing. The question is, where are you? Where are you? You living in those days where you said, "I'm young and strong and do my own thing." I want to encourage you young people something. Don't wait until the fifth or sixth time that the Holy Ghost deals with your heart before you get saved. Are you folks listening to me? Do not wait until God has dealt with your heart again and again and again before you get saved. If God's a touching your heart, drawing you to Himself, remember now your Creator in the days you get right with God while He's calling. Maybe the only chance you ever get. May I encourage you something, no matter how young or how old you are today, I'm going to give you a piece of real obvious wisdom. You're younger than you'll ever be again. And you'll never get the day back. This is your youth. It's as young as you're going to get. And today's the day to remember your Creator. Today's the day to serve God. Are you satisfied with your service to the Lord? Or are you sitting asleep in the window, waiting for time to pass by? Or are you in the street chasing down sin? Or are you serving God with a whole heart? Stand to your feet if you would. Maybe you need to come this morning and get something right with the Lord. Seek the face of God about something in your life. Maybe you need to come get saved. I don't know what your issue is, where you are in life. You need to come deal with your service with God. Whatever it is, I wish you'd come. Seek the face of the Lord. Get some help from God.
As a child, I foolishly turned God away, not knowing the heartbreak a sinner must face. But God in His goodness has let me return to share with His children this lesson I've learned. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Slowly but wholly taking control. Sin will leave you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. So with pleasure and promises, sin took control, leaving me dying with nothing to show. Gone were my loved ones and my dearest friends. Only a Savior could love me again. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Slowly but wholly taking control. Sin will leave you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. So with pleasure and promises, sin took control, leaving me dying with nothing to show. Gone were my loved ones and my dearest friends. Only a Savior could love me again. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Slowly but wholly taking control. Sin will leave you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay.